This is the Mike Lupica Podcast.
This podcast is great because your enthusiasms, it's why we've all been reading you for so long. This is a great vehicle for you to actually get to, in a long-form way, explore those enthusiasms, sometimes with the perspective of an additional 10 or 20 years.
Thanks for doing this today, pal.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The fun of this is I just talk to guys that I want to talk to.
That's what, to me, is such a blast about listening to your show.
First of all, the first time I ever saw Bernie on television, I started to talk like him as I was watching him.
Can you imagine the great Michael Jordan saying, hey, you know what? We can't beat the Pistons. Let me go join them. The essence of sports is about competition.
In-your-face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Mike Lupica Podcast. Our guest today is one of the best, and I mean the very best, in the business of breaking down the NBA. He's a former coach of the Rockets. He's a former coach of the Knicks. He is a frequent guest on our show. He is the great Jeff Van Gundy, here to talk all things NBA basketball and maybe even a little stuff about Houston sports. But before we get started with Jeff, a word from our sponsor, Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me, because if it doesn't confuse me, it's not going to confuse you. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company, of course, is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, damn it, I'm out of time. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast, and we haven't had him on for a while. The last time I tried to get him, he was in like these big fancy pants, high level, like way above our pay grade, executive meetings with the big shots at ESPN. You saw him working on Wednesday night with my pal Mike Breen. He is Jeff Van Gundy, who is, to my mind, the best coach not coaching right now in the NBA. But that's okay. He can coach, you know, however many games he does for ABC and ESPN. Good morning, Coach Van Gundy.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, let me ask you this as a Houstonian now. Has the town recovered yet from the World Series?
Absolutely not. There's an absolute hangover because you know how it is. You think you have the best team and the other team just outplays you in that series. Sort of like what we did to the Yankees, right? And And then you know what else is depressing? I don't know if it depresses everybody else, but this sense of inevitability that our best player, Gerrit Cole, is going to be leaving.
Yeah.
And in no other sport do you just say, yeah, we can't afford our best player. I don't get it.
Jeff, I don't get it either. I wrote a column for MLB.com just yesterday about why I believe that Rendon and Steven Strasburg should stay with the Washington Nationals. And you know what example I use, Jeff? And you're a big sports fan, so you know this. Albert Pujols, okay? Albert Pujols absolutely got more money from the Angels, signed a 10-year deal. The Cardinals had offered him a 10-year deal for not as much money and with some of it deferred. And he has, Jeff, he's disappeared into the ether, okay? 8 years into this deal, he has played 3 playoff games since he won a World Series with the Cardinals and won none of them. They got swept by the Royals the one time the Angels made the playoffs. And I just, even Bryce Harper, Jeff, I know he got his deal from Philadelphia, but what the hell was he thinking when he watched the World Series? Because guess what? He was happy playing for the Washington Nationals.
I agree. I think players sometimes get pushed into leaving by those around them because they just look at it as a straight money transaction instead of this is workplace happiness, this is environment, this is how do you push yourself to the greatest heights in your profession. And Rendon is a Houston guy, Mike. He went to Rice right down the street and Lamar High School, which is right around the corner. And like he's had a phenomenal career so far with the Nationals. And if the money's in the ballpark, happiness has to be a part of your equation. It just has to be.
And Jeff, here's what I always say about this. And I, we've had these conversations since you were an assistant coach with the Knicks. I want all guys to make as much money as they possibly can. I totally get that. I always have. Okay. But when we get into contracts north of $200 million or north of $250 million, we are then talking about money that won't affect a single day of the rest of your life. And what it becomes is scorekeeping. It becomes scorekeeping, and most of that scorekeeping involves agents who are saying, if this guy got this, we have to get you this because we'll look bad. And I'm telling you something, I know the Nationals offered Harper a lot of deferred money too, and he ended up taking, you know, 330 till he's the age of 39 if he's blessed with good health. But I'm telling you something, when he was on the outside looking in on that story, I'll say this again, Jeff, what was he thinking watching the Nationals write one of the great baseball stories of all time?
Well, first of all, when he was asked that question, he can't possibly tell the truth, right?
Right.
It's a question that, like, we would condemn him if he told the truth, like, I wish I was there. I wish I had never left. I screwed up, right? Like, so, and maybe he doesn't feel that way, but maybe he does, and we'll never know. Again, to me, the money, and you may mention about the agents, who profits from the extra, let's say, $30 million or whatever, which is a lot of money.
Sure.
The agents want their cut. People around the player want their cut. And so I just think oftentimes these players forget, if they were happy, not to screw up with happiness, if you can avoid it, because it's fleeting in professional sports. It really is.
It's a pretty good time, even with the heartbreak of the World Series, for Houston sports right now, because the kid at quarterback for the Texans is terrific.
Unbelievable.
When he came out of the draft, I forget where he was drafted, like seventh or whatever he was drafted. Okay,
well, they moved up to get him. Yeah, they traded up to get him.
Was he
10th?
I forget what number he was taking, but yeah. Jeff, all I kept thinking about was two games he played against Nick Saban and Alabama in the championship game, one of which he loses a heartbreak game, and then he comes back the next year and he's even better and he wins the game. And I'm saying, nobody rings up Nick Saban's defenses for those kinds of numbers. I said, don't go to sleep on this kid, and nothing that has happened in the pros has surprised me. And Jeff, even when he was a rookie, he was like in the MVP conversation until he blew out his knee.
Well, no question. I think there's a lot of people at the halfway mark who are in the MVP discussion this year in the NFL, but he's got to be prominently featured. We have a pretty good team with him. Without him, we are below mediocre. And he just makes a lot of plays. You know, he takes a lot of hits. He's courageous, fearless. And like you mentioned, going down the stretch of games, he just has a knack for finding a way to win.
Yep.
And he
yep.
had a play 2 weeks ago at home against the Raiders late where he got kicked in the face, spun around, and he found somebody in the end zone for the winning touchdown. It was an incredible play.
All right. Now, let's get to the NBA now, because that is your world. And let me just say this. Are you starting to worry about your own load management, Jeff? Because all of us who care about you, I think you're gonna have to take some games off so you're strong.
Mike, you gotta save us. We are starting to praise in American sports those who don't show up to work more than those who do show up to work. It is a phenomena they say is based on science, but they can produce no studies to show you that it actually helps. We see more soft tissue injuries right now at the start of the season because I believe players and teams are not in shape. You see these hamstring pulls and all this stuff. How did this happen? What started with Greg Popovich resting an older
yes.
Tim Duncan
yes. yep.
and Manu Ginobili a decade later is now morphed into they're questioning David Fizdale. Should he play a 19-year-old rookie heavy minutes? That's what it's come to. It's moronic.
Jeff, All right. I fall on your side of this conversation, but is the season too long, or is that a straw horse of an argument?
No, you can make the case for that, certainly. If you feel that it's unhealthy for players now to play 82 games, if you need to extend the season, whatever you want to do, right? I'm for. But this idea that it's inhumane is overboard. We've seen the greatest of great athletes be able to do this and take pride in being durable and coming to work every night because that's what the fans pay for. James Harden's a good example in modern day of someone who takes that seriously. We saw Jordan do it. Ewing do it. Malone, Stockton. It's not impossible. And coaches' job, their number one job is to pace their players and teams correctly. That's a Bill Parcells statement.
Right.
But you don't just do it on game days. You can do it with practice time. You can cut back repetitions. You can give more days off. And so this idea that you can't practice or play now, I just don't know how it's come so far. And I think if Greg Popovich knew what sitting Tim Duncan occasionally a decade ago was going to bring to the NBA, I think he regrets it.
Yeah, I mean, it all goes back. It all goes back to the famous DiMaggio line back when he was in his prime and playing with the Yankees, and they're playing the St. Louis Browns when the Browns were one of the worst teams ever imagined. And somebody asked him why he had played so hard that day. And DiMaggio, in another world, said, because there might be somebody in the stands who never saw me play before, okay? Michael accepted every single night of his career. Every single night of his career. And he's not unique. Patrick did too. The responsibilities of being Michael Jordan. And he accepted the responsibilities when the Bulls were like, you remember what it was like when they come to New York, Jeff. It was like the Rolling Stones were coming in to play the Garden, okay? And Michael, he accepted those responsibilities. Harden, listen, Ryan, I was just talking to Bob Ryan on the Sports Reporters podcast, and he pointed out that the year that Wilt played more than 48 minutes a game because he played every minute of overtime, okay? And so this idea that now you've got it's just become like one of those awful expressions, load management. I don't even know who came up with load management.
I tell you, sometimes – with best intentions comes the worst ideas. And it's interesting that you mentioned Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones in relation to Jordan. This summer, the Rolling Stones played in Houston. I'm not a music guy, but I went to see them. And they had to postpone it because I think Mick Jagger was sick, or he had a heart procedure.
Yeah, he had a heart procedure.
So they had to postpone the original show, and they rescheduled it, okay? They played in London the night before. They flew all night and played in Houston. And he, at whatever, 77 or whatever he is, put on 2 hours of the most incredible energy I could ever imagine. And so I'm watching him, and I'm thinking, if he was an NBA player, they would some sports scientist would have had him sit out the last 3 weeks. And it's a joke. I watch these guys. I mean, what has ever been accomplished in life that's worthwhile, that isn't centered around hard work and overcoming obstacles?
We have a joke at our house, and Taylor Lupica, who I'll say to her some mornings, I don't want to write today. I want a day off. And she'll just point up at my writing room and say, get up there. And she said, you know why? She said, here's why. Because you're doing exactly what you dreamed about doing when you were a little boy. And you know what? She's right every time. Talking to Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lubica podcast. Okay, let me ask you a question that I have been posing to my basketball fan friends over the last couple of weeks. I'm not talking about their resumes. I'm talking about where they are right now in their careers. If you could only pick one, would you pick Kawhi or would you pick LeBron?
One game today.
No, not one game. I'm talking about if you could pick one to be on your team, knowing their skill set, knowing their ages and knowing what great teammates both of them are. I'm not trying. LeBron has a greater resume, even though Kawhi's is better than you think. If you could only have one of them, who would you have?
James. He's more durable. He's healthier.
So without hesitation.
No, that doesn't mean.
One's 35 and one's 28.
Yeah, I'm just playing for this year, though.
Okay.
So I think this, the durability to me and the health, it's a real issue, right? So, but I've always said when you give me either or between these choices, I'm fine. You take first pick, I'll take the other guy, and I'm going to be just fine. And it's the same way with who's had the better basketball career. Who's not asking who the better player is. Who's had the better career, James or Jordan? You know, at some point you're going to have to say that James had the better career. But I would always say Jordan is the greatest player I've ever seen or competed against.
Oh, yeah, no, Jeff, you know this. It's the most complicated thing because we've had this conversation more than once. I think LeBron James does more on a nightly basis to positively impact basketball games than any player in history. I believe he could have been an all-star at any of the five positions, all that stuff. I believe that 8 finals in a row is a comparable achievement to Michael's 6-0 in the finals. Having said all of that, if I had to pick one of them to play for my life, it would be Michael.
You're picking Jordan. And you know what? And that is not, and this is why oftentimes, you know, and I was told comparison is the thief of joy. It's because when we are posed with this choice of one or the other, no matter who it is, and we pick one, it somehow in some way diminishes the other. If Jordan gets picked over you, it's okay. LeBron James will survive. And same if I take LeBron James because I just think he's the more durable, healthier player. That is no slight on Kawhi Leonard because this guy is a great player.
Let's talk about the Lakers. Jeff, are these two guys with the current supporting cast, are they enough to win an NBA championship?
Well, yes. They're enough to win it, but I wouldn't necessarily put them as the favorite.
Neither would I. No, neither would I. And I'm looking at just the team they had on the court the other night. Rondo was hurt and Avery Bradley didn't play, okay? Davis, James, McGee, Green, Caldwell Pope, Kuzma coming off the bench, Dwight Howard coming off the bench, and Cook had a very good game. Is there enough in the mix if LeBron is strong at the end of the year and Anthony is healthy for them to win a championship?
I do. I think it is. I think they could win it. I don't think there's a clear-cut favorite right now. I think Anthony Davis could be the best player on the floor in any playoff game. He's proven that. He hasn't had the chance to prove it deep in the playoffs, but he's proven that he can be, you know, special. The shooting around them, is up and down. So I think they'll be in the market for, one of those buyout candidates later in the year. But I think what you've seen from James is not just the numbers he's compiling, which he always does, but he's recommitted to the defensive end of the floor. The other game, a couple games ago, he took 2 charges. He was more active, more alert. He says it's because better health. I'm not sure why it is, but it's noticeable. And if he's that in tune defensively, they're going to have a great opportunity.
Jeff Van Gundy is our guest on the Mike Lubica podcast. More of our conversation right after this from Circle. As a parent, we know kids face a million, and I mean a million, online distractions. Fortnite, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, the list goes on and on and on. Circle makes it easy to take childhood offline when needed so they can focus on homework, chores, or just bedtime. Are your kids buying apps they shouldn't, signing up for social networks they're too young for? With Circle, you can rest easy knowing that they're safe inside the guidelines you set. Mike Lubica here, and Circle is changing the way parents can monitor their family's online access. With Circle Home Plus and the Circle app, parents can filter what content is allowed, set limits for screen time, and monitor history and usage. Hey, you never stop worrying about your kids, but with Circle, you know you have one less thing to worry about. Right now, our listeners get $30 off Circle Home Plus when you visit meetcircle.com/Lupica and enter Lupica at checkout. Get $30 off when you visit meetcircle.com/Lupica and enter Lupica at checkout. That's meetcircle.com/Lupica and enter Lupica to save $30. Jeff, I'm jumping around here. I thought this coming into the season. I think it now. I don't think it's their time. The other team in Texas, the Mavericks, are an intriguing group to me because if those two kids stay healthy, Doncic is 20. Porzingis is, who's got a unique skill set, is 24. They are, again, I don't think this is their time, but they are an intriguing group to me.
Agreed. They're going to most likely make the playoffs, you know, could maybe win a first round series, but Doncic is so good, you know, a 6'7", 6'8". You know, playmaking, point guard, two guard, whatever you want to call him, who's in much better condition, tries a lot harder defensively. And then Porzingis being back healthy, I think people are expecting him to be great right away. And I think it's going to take a half season for him to get back, knock the rust off, get back into rhythm. But those two guys, and they have some other guys that are pretty good players. So it'll be interesting to watch them build their team over the course of the next 5 years, because like you said, they have building blocks. And the hardest thing to find in the NBA are the true stars that you can surround with and see yourself being able to win a championship.
All right. The Clippers, obviously, we don't know what they're going to look like when Paul George is healthy, but it sounds like he's going to be healthy quite soon. Just the matchup in the Staples Center, Jeff. Which of those two teams do you like better?
I like the Clippers, because I think you can make the case when they're both on top of their game, Paul George is right there with Kawhi Leonard. So how are you going to match up with those two guys? And how are your wings going to possibly score when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are on the floor down the stretch of a close game? I mean, you've got those two, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams off the bench, and Montrezl Harrell, who they absolutely had no idea what they were getting from the Houston Rockets way back in the Chris Paul trade. The Chris Paul trade, the Clippers actually, you can make the case, they won the trade.
Right.
That's how good they did in that trade for Chris Paul. And when you trade for an all-time point guard and the other team does just as well as you did, that's quite a testament to the Clippers, Doc Rivers, and Lawrence Frank.
By the way, I'm probably preaching to the choir on this, but have you seen the play last night that Doc Rivers is all upset about, where Eric Bledsoe flopped and Doc's this early in the season, he's declared that he's through with the challenge rule, Jeff?
Well, I think Doc, I'm not sure if he's still on the competition committee, Mike, but he was. So he has a very influential voice in shaping the rules of the game. And again, replay came in with the best intentions in all sports. What it's morphed into for me is an unnecessary drag of boredom that I think is counterproductive to enjoyment of the game. The coach's challenge, I think, again, best intentions. But what I see is similar to the pass interference rule. Things I see are like, yeah, that should be overturned, aren't. We had one last night in the Houston game that Mike Breen and I were watching. I thought it should be overturned. Mike didn't. He thought the foul should actually be assessed to another player. It did get overturned, but it's all this, to me, wasted time. And I feel the coach's frustration, because you want to get one overturned, but then you lose a timeout to boot. It's really hard to decide if you're going to, you know, question the official. And then when they look at it, are they going to overturn themselves? Eagles?
Well, that's the thing. Here's Doc's quote after the game. I don't know if you've seen it yet. That was awful. It was a flop by Bledsoe, and he jerked his head back. That was awful. It was. They should have overturned it. That's why I hate the rule. Nobody wants to be wrong. Let me just say that. You have to overturn that. Unless Bledsoe fouled Lou Williams with his face, there was no foul on that play.
Yeah. It's going to, you know, on a probationary status, I think, for this 1 year. And I think you'll see it be eliminated. It's just, again, best intentions, unnecessary. Unnecessary drag on time, breaks rhythm of the game. And for what?
All right. How is the partnership of Westbrook and Harden figuring it out in your city right now?
Well, Westbrook's played more efficient offensively than Harden so far this year. Harden's really struggled from the field in the three. He got it going last night a little bit, but he's been living at the free throw line, which has offset his early shooting struggles. Their problem is not going to be offense. They'll be fine offensively. The question will be defensively and rebounding. Now, Westbrook has really helped him from a rebounding standpoint. He pushes it hard after his own rebounds, and that leads to some really good shot opportunities in transition. Defensively, right now, they're inadequate. And unless you're a top 10 defensive team, you really are not a championship caliber team. So it'll be interesting to see how much improvement they can make defensively. Remember last year, they were awful defensively to start the year, and then they got better as the year went on. I don't know exactly where they ended up defensively, but they made vast improvements. They're going to need a similar type of improvement this year to consider themselves championship worthy.
And a reminder that today's episode of the Mike Lubica Podcast with the great Jeff Van Gundy is being sponsored by Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Jeff, I was watching some of the game last night, and you went off on a brief riff about defense, and you were talking about Harden, and he had made a good defensive play, and I don't want to put words into your mouth, but you basically said it's not that hard to play good defense. So you cut off the first dribble, and then it's a question of positioning and help. But expand on that.
So, you know, everybody talks, Mike, about leadership, and everybody equates, or too many people equate, leadership with speeches and talk versus action. And my premise is the best players on the team, they show their leadership by the ability to unite and inspire their teammates towards a goal of winning. And the two ways to do that are the most unselfish, is pass it on offense and try on defense. You don't have to be the best individual defender, but everybody can be an outstanding team defender. They can know schemes and strategies, be in the right place. They can try to contain that first dribble, which is what I was speaking about last night,
right,
with Harden. And Harden and Westbrook, everybody has been critical of their defense. But I would say this, there's not one athletic tool that either one of them don't have that prevents them from being a good defender. There's no athletic deficiencies
in them that they couldn't be a good defender. And so all they have to do is lock in and focus. And to me, that's leadership, because that shows your teammates we're serious about winning.
And when you look at the Rockets, do you believe that this team built around, you know, two superstar players, Westbrook and Harden, will be in the mix at the end of the year?
I think they would have to do some roster tinkering. I don't think they're talented enough right now. And then they'd have to have a commitment to defense that is quite different from the commitment they have right now. If they are able to upgrade some talent areas and upgrade their intensity defensively, certainly when you have a guy like Harden who can be just absolutely dominant in the half court, you can win. I think the interesting part for me, Mike, is, and you know Mike D'Antoni well, I think watching the way they play is hard for him. He was born on and taught for so long, you know, 7 seconds or less, ball movement, player movement. They ran beautiful stuff in Phoenix, in L.A., in New York. And I think the way they isolate so much, I think that's probably hard for him to watch sometimes, but he's doing what he feels is the best style to give them their best chance. But I'm interested to see, you know, Golden State did it out of desperation a little bit last night because they were so under-talented. They doubled Harden's wing isolation more than I've seen, and particularly later in the clock or on out-of-bounds plays. And I'm going to be interested to see if more teams do that, to test to see, does Houston have not enough shooting, but enough playmaking? Do they have another guy, particularly when Westbrook's out, that can make a play off the dribble? I'm really interested in that.
Jeff, I'm going to jump around now because I think that there's so many interesting stories going on right now in this league. And I'll start in Phoenix, where Ayton is suspended. Is there a star player in this league discussed less than Devin Booker?
No, but I think until this year, it was rightfully so, because putting up numbers when you're playing on historically bad teams that are also incompetent and don't play particularly hard, I understand why people gloss over his gaudy numbers, but you're right about Phoenix. James Jones, their general manager, and Monty Williams, their head coach, in concert, have crafted a tough, hard-playing team around the greatness of Booker. So, Ayton's out, but I can make the case that Aaron Baines is a better player than Ayton right now to win.
Right.
Tremendous. You know, he can shoot the three, sets incredible screens, and he's just a nasty physical presence defensively. They added Javon Carter, the West Virginia guy who played at Memphis, hard playing. Ricky Rubio is hard playing. Dario Saric is hard playing. So they've transformed themselves from being like a soft, lack of intensity type of team to a hard playing, tougher team. And I applaud all the roster moves they've made. And right now, they're must-see NBA TV.
How about Monty Williams? I mean, could any of us who have ever known this man root any harder for Monty Williams?
You're absolutely right. The tragedy that he is probably still dealing with on a daily basis, the man he is, he's just such an example to everyone in coaching and out of coaching of the grace in trying to handle personal adversity. I admire him greatly.
All right, let's go over to the Eastern Conference, because I think the Eastern Conference is going to be fascinating this year. And I'm not alone in this, but with my basketball fan friends, I was talking about them before the season. I was intrigued by the Miami Heat, and nothing that I've seen from them so far. They're a very interesting group, Jeff.
Well, again, they add Jimmy Butler, which is, you know,
a typical Miami move to try to make a play for a star player. And I think his personality fits into their style exceptionally well. But then they go out and draft the kid from Kentucky, who's a very talented offensive player, Arrow. And then they pick up out of the G League, which Miami has done exceptionally well, Kendrick Nunn, who was on the Golden State G League team for the last 2 years, because I watched him a lot and the G League a lot as I was doing USA Basketball. He didn't start for them, but he was a hard-playing, slashing scorer. Well, they get him for the whole summer. He improves, and now he's starting for them. And he's had some big games, particularly early in the season when Butler missed those first three. So, you know, Miami, exceptionally well-coached, play hard with great conditioning and structure. They're a throwback team when it comes to how they still do things. You know, you'll never hear load management or do less in Miami. They're going to push you to try to get in great shape, be the best player you can be. And then they've got Dragic coming off the bench now who provides tremendous punch. So I think they have a very good team. I was not as high on them because I wasn't as sold on Kendrick Nunn nor the rookie. Miami has proven to be so very good early in the season.
Jeff, I have, obviously as a New Yorker, I have followed the Kemba Walker story. And I tell people this, and I've written this for years. His story is like a hymn to New York City and its possibilities. I was talking about this with Ryan today. Jeff, think how this young man's life started to change with one buzzer-beating shot in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden against the Pitt Panthers in the Big East tournament, okay? They go on from there to win the national championship, and this kid from the Bronx, from Rice High School, ends up playing himself into a max contract with the Boston Celtics. And Jeff, if Gordon Hayward is back, and he sure looked like he was back the other day, you put the Tatum, Hayward, Walker, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I agree. I think right now I picked them in third in the Eastern Conference. I thought they would bounce back and have a great year. And I was saying this, Mike, on the broadcast last night. I got a chance to work with Kemba Walker this summer with USA Basketball in the World Cup. You are never going to find a finer player / person than Kemba Walker.
Nope.
You just can't do it. You know, the guy that's right there is Donovan Mitchell, like another, you know, New York, Connecticut type of guy. Like, Kemba Walker doesn't say a whole lot, but he does a whole lot. He does a whole lot on the floor. He does a whole lot to boost his teammates, does a lot for the community that he lives in. He is a man of impeccable character.
They're fun to watch. Ryan was pointing out, I didn't know this. I knew how many points that Hayward scored the other night. Do you know he was 16 for 16 for twos the other night?
Yeah, it was the best since Wilt. And I forgot what year he didn't miss one. I don't care if you're shooting uncontested layups and warm-ups. 16 for 16 is quite impressive. And then you say it's an NBA competition. I'm happy for him. I hope. You know, a lot was said about him last year. Not much slack was cut him, particularly when he was trying to come back off a year-long injury that could have ended his career. I'm happy for him, his work ethic. They sort of cleaned out some of the clutter. There's more defined roles, and I think Gordon Hayward's going to have a big year.
Jeff, just how many of the basketball gods did the Golden State Warriors piss off? I mean, it's almost biblical what has happened to them since what? Game four? I forget when it all started to go sideways in the NBA Finals. It's quite extraordinary.
It really is. And now Draymond Green probably will be back soon and D'Angelo Russell. The interesting part to me was they were getting blown out to start the year when they had Curry, Green, and Russell, three all-stars from last year. And, you know, the people they put around them, they have, you know, We all get intrigued by young players who put up numbers. But the hard part is, Mike, they don't have any NBA starters right now on playing. Of their nine guys they played last night, they have no NBA starters.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting to me. Are they going to be able to pull a Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, when David Robinson is hurt? They have a terrible year, get the number one pick, and then all of a sudden they're a championship caliber team. You know, is that in the cards for Golden State? It's going to be interesting to see.
Jeff Van Gundy is our guest on the Mike Lubica podcast. More with Mr. Van Gundy in a moment. But first, this from our trusted sponsor, Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. The Raptors aren't – I don't think they're going to go away, Jeff. I think the Raptors are going to be around in the Eastern Conference. I do. I may be dead wrong about this by the end of the year.
They have great pride. And you know what's interesting about Nick Nurse in Toronto, if you watch their box scores? He's gone the opposite way of so many teams in that they are all playing, you know, 10 guys, 11 guys. He's playing basically eight and a half guys a game. And he's upped his minutes of those guys. Like Kyle Lowry last night played 40. They have guys in the high 30s. So he doesn't feel they have the same depth. So he's not trying to extend them to 9 or 10 guys because he knows, hey, games can be lost in a 3 or 4 minute spurt. I think it's really interesting, and I think it's very, very intelligent of Toronto to maximize their top-end players while minimizing their lack of depth.
When you say you picked the Celtics to finish third, I assume you mean behind the Bucks and the Sixers, right? So nothing, has anything happened that would change that evaluation?
Well, I'm interested in the Sixers. I wonder, now they should be absolutely dominant defensively. I'll be interested to see offensively if they have enough without some change to their roster. Do they have enough shooting? Do they have enough playmaking or quickness? I'm going to be really interested. And they have a guy on their bench who played a little bit when Embiid was out for suspension and had a moment where he made a big shot in Portland to win the game. Korkmaz, he hasn't played. He's played very sparingly in his time in the NBA. But he does shoot the ball well. He knows how to move and play without the ball. He's got to gain some intensity defensively. But from an offensive standpoint, I think he's talented enough to help him. I'm wondering if he can be a guy that can provide some more offensive punch off the bench. I'm just concerned a little bit about Philly's ability to score in the playoffs.
Jeff, if I asked you to pick a sleeper team in each conference, and again, I don't know when Oladipo is back. Do they even know when Oladipo is going to be back?
Probably not.
Do you think
it's still going to be a bit? But I would say when Oladipo comes back, we have to cut him the slack. He'll look fine, but when you're out that long and trying to overcome the mental hurdle of a major injury, I'm not sure I can anoint
No, them. Then you're Gordon Hayward. It took Gordon Hayward a year, yeah. Jeff. It took him a full year to get back to being himself.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Indiana's going to struggle. Like, I think Toronto would be a good sleeper pick.
Right.
I think they have pride. They have good top-end players.
They have a great guy running their operation in Masai Ujiri.
No question. And in the Western Conference, I'm trying to think. You know, I don't think you can say Utah is a sleeper. So I'm going to go with Phoenix. I really like Phoenix's team. They may not even make the playoffs, but I like them. And, Devin Booker, as you mentioned before, Devin Booker can really carry an offense. and they've surrounded him with a bunch of tough, hard-playing guys.
Isn't Fred VanVleet one of the best stories? And I just love the fact that he has become this kind of NBA guy, you know, because I don't think anybody saw that for sure when he was coming out of college.
Well, you know they didn't see it for sure because he wasn't drafted, right?
Right.
They got – everybody was looking at his measurables. You know, he's smaller, he's slower, not great length. Yeah, but that's why toughness, intelligence, skill, will, grit, perseverance, those matter as much as what a guy's wingspan is. And so I give Toronto credit not only for – signing him as an undrafted free agent, but also giving him real opportunities to prove his value and worth. And he had he's had a marvelous run in Toronto so far. I couldn't be happier for him.
So, Jeff, what do you do? Let's just circle back to how we started. And again, I appreciate you doing this the night after game, so I'm only going to keep you a couple more minutes. But what do you think will happen when you go to ESPN and say, listen, I'm very concerned about load management. And you put out your phone and you say, here's the games you have me scheduled for, but I think I need to take some of these off.
If you looked at my schedule, Mike, you would already say they're load managing me very, very well. I have a game. My last game in November is the 27th. Right. I don't have another game until December 18th. So I think in my advanced age,
sure,
right now, ESPN is bending over backward to manage my load. I just hope they don't manage me so much they end up shipping me out. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. They're not going to ship you out because you are part of their best play-by-play and color analyst crew and working with a play-by-play guy who, Jeff, you know this, there's nobody better than Michael Breen. Nobody. Nobody doing any sport is better than Mike Breen is doing pro basketball.
Well, I would agree with that. He makes even the most, the least polished person, he makes you as good as you can be. So, you know, that's all you can ask from somebody you work with. And Mike, he cares so deeply about the NBA, loves the Knicks, but loves the league as well. And it shows through every night. I mean, this guy does, I think he does over 100 games a year between the Knicks and ESPN, ABC. And every game you hear him do, you feel like it's a big game.
My friend Jeff Van Gundy was nice enough to come on the Mike Lubega podcast. You've heard me tell this story before. He changed my career as a writer by 1 year telling me how to take all the kids who got cut in the seventh grade and start a team of my own, and it produced the book Travel Team. And here I am, millions of books later, and it would not have happened if Jeff Van Gundy and I had not had an innocent phone conversation one day in 2003. So once again, thank you for that, my friend.
You got it, Mike. Take care.
Great Jeff Van Gundy on the Mike Lubega podcast. We lean on him a lot during the pro basketball season. He's always generous enough to come on, and there's no better conversation you can have about pro basketball than one with him. Continue to download, continue to subscribe, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Apple Podcasts. Leave comments, give us a rating, and guess what? We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
The Mike Lubega podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lubega podcast. Click on the Mike Lubega podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.